I wish everyone a very blessed Easter. The epistle for Easter Sunday morning is taken from 1 Corinthians chapter 5. Brethren, purge out the old leaven, that you may be a new paste, as you are unleavened. For Christ our Passover is sacrificed. Therefore let us feast, not with the old leaven, nor with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. Please stand for the Holy Gospel. The Gospel is taken from Mark chapter 16. At that time, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James and Salome, bought sweet spices, that coming they might anoint Jesus. And very early in the morning, the first day of the week, they come to the sepulchre, the sun being now risen, and they said one to another, "Who shall roll us back the stone from the door of the sepulchre?" And looking, they saw the stone rolled back, for it was very great. And entering into the sepulchre, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, clothed with a white robe, and they were affrighted. Who saith to them, "Be not affrighted, you seek Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He is risen, he is not here. Behold, the place where they laid him. But go, tell his disciples and Peter that he goeth before you into Galilee. There you shall see him as he told you." Please be seated. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Well, in today's Mass, obviously, we have the liturgy, very joyful, that this is truly a great day for us. And that's why we say, Salva Festa Dies, hail this great day. It's a great day because, obviously, it is the pinnacle of the liturgical life, the liturgical year for us. And it is also what we have been building for. We've been building to this great feast of Easter. And so with that, that is why the liturgy throughout it has the Alleluias, it has this idea of hailing this as being such a great day. But then also, if you notice, there is a sequence comes after the gradual, the tract, or the Alleluia. And a sequence marks something that is, yes, a great feast, something that is very special. You will notice that the sequence is throughout this entire week. But in the sequence itself, there is something that is given that I think is quite fitting for us to understand. At one point it says in there, "Oh Mary, what did you see? What did you see on the way?" Referring to St. Mary Magdalene. And so, yes, they had gone to try to anoint our Lord. And so from that, this idea of what did you see? Because they're going there to try to anoint the body. And in some ways, there is maybe some of that doubt of that our Lord did not rise. I mean, we know, we understand that truly, if our Lord did not rise, then our faith would be in vain. St. Paul tells us that. But also, we see in here of how then the angel is there waiting for them, knowing that therefore, yes, they will come. They will be looking for our Lord Jesus Christ. But he is not there. And so that is what the angel tells them. The one that you're looking for, this Jesus of Nazareth, he's not here. He is risen as he said. And in some ways it is a gentle reminder to them. A reminder to them that our Lord, he had told them, he had promised them that he would rise the third day. And so he lived up to that. He lived up to what he was going to say. And as I mentioned, this is something that St. Paul tells us. If our Lord did not rise from the dead, our whole faith would be in vain. It would be worth nothing. And that is why that I think it's so important in this sequence, it asks St. Mary Magdalene, "What did you see?" Because remember, St. Mary Magdalene sees our Lord. And at first, she doesn't even recognize him. She doesn't recognize that it is our Lord. So that is why the question is there for her. What did you see on the way? And it was our Lord Jesus Christ, risen from the dead. And he tells her, I have not ascended to my Father and your Father. So basically, do not touch me. Noli tangere. Because he has not yet ascended to his Father. And so from this, it is, I would say, something that is very marking of the season of Easter. It marks it because it is a gentle reminder to us. You know, what did you see? Was it something that was fulfilling of what our Lord said he would do? And that is why this day is so glorious. That is why this day is the pinnacle of our liturgical year. It is why we build toward it. I had mentioned last night at the Paschal Vigil, talking about the Paschal candle itself and it being lit and what it says. The prayer at that time when it's being lit, it says, Christ, your glory rising to dispel the darkness from the heart and mind. And that is the signification of the Paschal candle itself. It signifies Christ as being this light. In glory rising, our Lord Jesus Christ rising from the dead. And so that is why then when we understand the liturgical year, when we understand what all of these things symbolize, it can help us then to ourselves live a better life. It can help us to be this light to the world. And that is what is asked of us. Let your light shine before men. And so it is up to us to be like our Lord. To be this light to the world around us. Just as our Lord was this light into the darkness. At the Paschal Vigil, the priest or the deacon, he brings in the candle being lit into a dark church. And just as the prayer says when he lights it, dispel the darkness. That is why the priest, as he brings the candle in, he says, Lumen Christi, this is the light of Christ. And at that point, the faithful will genuflect, saying Deo gratias, thanks be to God. Thanks be to God, it is the light of Christ. And he does that three times. Some will say the three times is in remembrance of Peter's, thrice denial of our Lord. And that is why then there is that acknowledgement three times of him being the Paschal candle signifying Christ being the light to the world, dispelling the darkness that is out there. And so Holy Mother of the Church gives us all of these things to contemplate, to think about in this time period of Easter, this Paschal time period. And so from that, I encourage you to, if you're not able to attend the masses, different things, to at least, at the very least, to be able to read and to understand why the church gives us these things. You know, why does she have this sequence? What is the importance behind this sequence in this mass? And as I say, this one question stands out. Because it is a reminder to us that what our Lord said, he did. He said he would rise, and he did. And it is the pinnacle of our faith. And that is why we hail this day as such a glorious day. Because if our Lord did not rise, we would not have a chance for heaven. Our redemption would not be there if our Lord did not rise from the dead. So that is why this is such a glorious day for us. This is why it is the pinnacle of our entire liturgical year. It is why we build toward this day. But you see how the church reminds us, I mentioned to you at Christmas time, of how our Lord is this light to the darkness. That is why he came at midnight, the darkest time of the night. Because he was going to be this light to the world. And now we have the signification of the Paschal candle, of him being this light. In being this light, it is a reminder to us of the obligation we have too, of being a light to the world around us, to let our light shine before men, not to hide it. Our Lord says in Sacred Scripture, in the Sermon on the Mount, when he's talking about, for one, the priesthood, and talking about priests must be a true light, He said, we cannot hide our light behind a bushel, because therefore it will not give the light that it is supposed to. But I think from that, it is also a gentle reminder to us all. We must be a light to the world. And being this light, we can help dispel darkness. And the darkness is sin, very clearly. That again, we see in sacred scripture when our Lord cures people from a blindness. The analogy from that is the blindness is sin. And so if we're in darkness, that means we're in sin. And we need to clear our soul from that. So do take this opportunity on this glorious feast where the church even hails it as such a great feast. To pray for the graces. Pray for the graces to truly live up to being this light. And by following our Lord, because with the Paschal candle itself, the faithful follow in behind it, signifying that they are followers of Christ, truly the name of a Christian. A Christian is a follower of Christ. And so therefore, they must try to follow our Lord on this path. Yes, dispelling the darkness for our Lord. He dispels the darkness for all, each and every one of us. So pray for these graces in this glorious time period, so that with that we can be a light with Christ and enter into our glory. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.